powerful word this morning from our God. So Pastor Danielle, just walk in it and let Holy Spirit do what He will do in and through you. Amen.
Amen. Come on. I want you to stay on your feet. Come on, give that great God that we were just singing about a great praise. Come on. Hallelujah. The sweet presence of God in this place this morning. I know that you feel it. This morning, I've titled this message that God's given me, Driven by Eternity. Driven by Eternity. The definition of the word driven means having a compulsive or urgent quality, a driven sense of obligation, propelled or motivated by something. What are you driven by today? What are you motivated by today? What are you propelled by today? How are you living your life? What are you living your life for? What are you driven by? You know, I saw a guy with a shirt on that said, "Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for?" I had to read that a few times, so I'm going to say it again to you. Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for? Is what you're living for worth Christ's death on the cross? Only you and God know that. And that phrase, that question, has really just been stirring in my spirit for weeks now. In everything that I do and everything that I say, I'm thinking to myself, is what I'm doing worth Christ dying for? Is how I'm living my life worth the sacrifice that Christ gave us? And I want to challenge you with that question today. I want that question to resound in your heart and your spirits and your minds today. Is what I'm living for worth Christ's death? You see, we're not saved just to be these polished, you know, knickknacks on God's shelf in heaven for eternity. It's not why we're saved. You see, we've been saved for a purpose. And fulfilling that purpose is really the only thing when we enter into eternity that we have to give back to God. Let me say that again. Fulfilling the purpose God has for your life is the only thing that you have worthy enough to give back to God when you enter into eternity. Is what you're living for worth Christ dying for today? You know, today I want to talk to you about something that God's literally been teaching me and carrying me through and talking to me about knowing and fulfilling your purpose, your God-given purpose. Having an eternal mindset versus an earthly or carnal mindset. So many of us, including myself, that's a fight. It's a fight to constantly have your mind set on earthly or on eternal things. Because we live in this world, we live on this earth, and if we're not careful, our mindset will begin to think the way that the world thinks on earthly and carnal treasures. And we'll have a desire to store up earthly treasures that when we get into heaven will be nothing to God. So today I want to challenge you to challenge your mind from this point on to think eternally versus earthly and carnally. How many of you know your purpose? How many of you know exactly what God called you to do before you were even born in your mother's womb? How many of you know what your purpose is here on this earth? You can raise your hand if you do know, and if you don't, that's okay. Not very many people raise their hand, which is understandable because it's a journey. But I want to shed some light on that today. You see, discovering God's will or purpose for your life is not a matter of determining what you want, but it's what He wants with your life. It's not about what you want to do with your life. It's about what He wants to do with your life. And sometimes those two things can be the same. That's the goal. The goal is for you and God's purpose for your life to match up. And when that happens, you become an unstoppable force for the kingdom here on earth. When that happens. I want you to turn to your Bibles in Mark 8, verse 34. And it says, "Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, 'If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way and take up your cross and follow me.'" You see, if you try to hang on to your life, you will lose it. "But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul?" So the scripture saying, if any of you wants to be a follower of Christ, which I'm sure many of you desire to be a follower of Christ, amen? If you try to hang on to your life, you're going to lose it. That's what he's saying here. But if you give up your life for his sake and for his kingdom, you will save it. And you'll have eternal life. Isn't that what we're all living for? You see, some of us in here today may be asking ourselves the question, does God really have purpose for my life? We've been through so many different things in our lives. We've made so many different mistakes. Can God still use my life? Is there still purpose? Have I missed the purpose of God? Have I gone too far and passed over what God had for me? Can I turn back and get what God had purposed my life from the foundations of the world? Yes. Yes, you can. You see, a lot of times we look through the lenses of our own eyes. We look at ourselves the way we see ourselves, and we see ourselves as dirty. We see ourselves as wretched. We see ourselves as sinful. We see ourselves as mistake makers. Sometimes we look through the lenses of other people and what other people think of us, what our family thinks of us, what our friends think of us, what our boss thinks of us. We don't have the right mindset. We don't see ourselves the way that God And I believe that if we could get a revelation of the way God looks at us, seriously, if we could get a revelation of the way God sees us and God looks at us, we would live our lives totally different. We would make decisions and choices in our lives that would be different than how we make choices and decisions. If we had that revelation, really, of how God looks at us. You see, our obstacles, our failures, our past does not intimidate God. It may intimidate other people. It may intimidate yourself, but it doesn't intimidate God. That is like this to God. That is nothing to God. Your past failures, your mistakes, they equal nothing to God. That God is way bigger than that, and he's not intimidated by it. So don't you be intimidated by it. Don't be intimidated to go forth in what you know God has called you to do because of your past issues or mistakes. You see, his will and his purpose goes beyond what you could even imagine, what you could think. You know, I talked about that. God had a purpose for your life before you were even created in your mother's womb. God told Jeremiah, before I formed you, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you and I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Before he was born, he was ordained and called to be a prophet to the nations. What is it that God called you to do before you were born? That's your purpose. And God wants to give that to you. God wants to show you that. He wants to tell you what that is. Psalm 139, verse 15 and 16, it says, you watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion. As I was woven together in the dark of the womb, you saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. If that doesn't prove that God knew you before you were even thought of, if he didn't have a purpose for your life before, whether somebody else didn't purpose you to be in this world, God purposed you to be in this world. It continues on in that scripture and talks about your thoughts towards me, O Lord, are greater than the number of grains of sand. That's a lot of thoughts that he has towards us. And you know what? They're all good. They're all great thoughts. I don't know about you, but he's probably the only one who has that many good thoughts about you and that many good thoughts about me. Aren't you thankful? Aren't you thankful for that? You see, many people have misunderstood God's will. I'm one of those people, I think, at times where I've misunderstood what is God's will for my life. You know, we think doing God's will is only for those, the pastors and the preachers, the apostles, the evangelists, the teachers. We think that we can only live up to God's will if we get to that pinnacle of title and ministry. Okay? And that's not the case. You know, the fivefold ministers, what their purpose is to equip the saints. Our purpose is to equip the saints. That's you. That's me. And a lot of times, the church as a whole, we've gotten to this place of thinking that it's all the ministers, the fivefold minister's job to reap the harvest, to see the kingdom of God come on earth, and it's not. If we could look at it as a football team, we would see that the pastor, the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, and the teacher, you know what their job would be on a football team? The water boy. The water girl. Equipping the players. Feeding the players. So that they're able to win the game, to play the game. It's the same thing here. So don't make an excuse. Can I say that again? Don't make an excuse for why you're not pursuing your purpose and the kingdom of God. Don't make an excuse for why you're not sharing your faith with other people. You see, regardless of what we do as an occupation, We all share a singular calling and mission in life, and it's to build the kingdom of God here on earth. You're looking for your purpose. It's to build the kingdom of God here on earth. No matter what you do for a living, no matter what your job is, that's your purpose. I had taught in Bible study this past Wednesday, and I shared a story about the owner of Hobby Lobby. And I never knew the background of his life or his story, but he was raised in a Christian home, and his family, it was generations of pastors. And all of his siblings chose that pathway of life. And it was like expected of all of his siblings and himself to pursue ministry for their life. And he was almost like he said that he was almost like the black sheep of the family. How many of you maybe feel like you're the black sheep of your family? He was the black sheep of his family, and because he chose that, he didn't have that calling. He didn't feel that was his calling, but he was gifted in business. And God had given him a vision to start a business, Hobby Lobby. And we all probably have seen Hobby Lobby or have not shopped in Hobby Lobby. And there's hundreds of Hobby Lobbies all over the nation. And I thought it was really interesting because in reading his story, he had said that through his business and the money that was made through his business, he was able to touch 1/3 of the world's population with the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1/3 of the world's population. That's a lot. And you know what? It wasn't from having a church, being a pastor, preaching the word of God. Even though it does talk about how, you know, at his headquarters they have, you know, Bible study every day. They have a minister on site every day. And people get saved on the job at Hobby Lobby, okay? But I thought to myself, what if he would have done what everybody else was doing? What if he would have thought that his life could only matter if he was, or he could only enlarge the kingdom of God by being a minister or part of the fivefold? I'm not going to say for sure, but I could probably say that he probably wouldn't have touched 1/3 of the world with the gospel. If we find ourselves moving in another direction from advancing the kingdom of God, we can be sure we're moving away from God's will for our life. And so today I want to give you 5 secrets to discovering God's will. 5 secrets for discovering God's will, because like I said, many of you didn't raise your hand when I asked you if you knew the purpose or will of God for your life. And so I want to give you 5 secrets to discovering and understanding and living in God's will. The first one, you've got to know that the kingdom comes first. You see, Jesus prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come and your will be done. That's how we are to pray. That's what the word of God says, that we are to pray just like that. That was an example. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What do you think that means? Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you. The word add in this scripture is meaning, and it's actually a mathematical term. Add. Addition is meaningless. We have a slide up here I want you to put up. Addition is meaningless unless we're dealing with numbers greater than 0, right? Do we have that up there? Okay, 0 + 0 = 0. You can add 0 as many times as you want, and it still equals 0. You see, 0 is the ultimate value of all the world chases after. And even you and I, we chase after it too. Like possessions, glory, gratification, fame, fortune. If it's not to advance God's kingdom, it's a 0. God. So 0 plus 0 plus 0 plus 0 gives you 0. But when we're seeking first the kingdom of God, it means that we've made God's kingdom the number one priority in our lives. The number one priority in our lives. So when you put, when God's kingdom is number one, all the zeros actually have meaning to them, right? You put God number one in front of all of what zero stands for to God, and it actually has meaning. 10, 100, 10,000, 100,000, 1 million. There's some meaning to 1 million, right? I want that to stick with you today, because all the zeros in life are meaningless unless God's kingdom is first. When you put God's kingdom first, not only will you find ultimate purpose and meaning in your life, but even the small things will be significant. Only when you put God first, only when you pursue God's kingdom first, all those other things will be added unto you. And all those other things will have purpose and significance. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Do not love this world nor the things it offers, for when you love the world, you do not have love for the you do not have love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving of physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from this world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God will live forever." So really, that scripture is saying, what's important in this world isn't important to God. And it's having a shift in your mind. You put the kingdom of God first, everything else will be taken care of. Physical, mental, emotional needs. If you want to know what job to take, seek his kingdom. If you want to know who to marry, seek his kingdom. If you want to know where to live, seek his kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else will be added unto you. But you see, if the reasons that you become a seeker of his kingdom are for what he can do for you and how he can bless you, you've got it all wrong. Can I say that again? If you're seeking God just because he can give you something or do something for you, you've got it all wrong. You see, God, I read this in a book. It says, God's not looking for spiritual gold diggers. And that's what we become when we're seeking God and his kingdom for what it can benefit us. You see, we don't seek the kingdom because we love its benefits. We seek the kingdom because we love its king. We don't seek the kingdom because we love its benefits. We seek the kingdom because we love its king. If you love Jesus, can you just give him a shout of praise? We love you, God. We're seeking you because of who you are. Not for any benefit for us. We're seeking you because of who you are. Thank you, God. Mark 10, 17. I want to read this story to you. It says, "As Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him and knelt down and asked, 'Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?' 'Why do you call me good?' Jesus asked. 'Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone, and honor your father and mother.' 'Teacher,' the man replied, 'I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young.' Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. He said, 'There's still one thing you haven't done,' he told him. 'Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me.' At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. And Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, 'How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God?' This amazed them. But Jesus said again, 'Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God.' The disciples were astounded. Then, who in the world can be saved? They asked. And Jesus looked at them intently and said, humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God. Then Peter began to speak up. We've given everything to follow you, he said. Yes, Jesus replied, and I assure you that everyone who has given up house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or property for my sake, for the good news, will receive now in return 100 times as many houses, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and property along with persecution. And in the world to come, that people will have eternal life. But many who are the greatest now will be the least important then, and those who seem least important now will be the greatest then. What is God saying? What is he saying in here? He's not saying that rich people aren't going to go to heaven. That's not what he's saying. He's talking about the intent of their heart. What's more important to them? Priorities, the intents of your heart to build the kingdom, an eternal perspective. You know, sometimes we can get down because we live in this world and we see people who maybe have what we want. We desire to have maybe more than what we have, a bigger house or a nicer car. But really, we have everything that we need. It's not bad to have those things. But if that's what your mindset and that's what your heart is focused on, and you achieve all of that success and you're not thinking about God's kingdom, then when you get to heaven and you sit before the judgment seat of Christ, that's going to get burned up. The second secret to discovering God's will and purpose for your life is knowing that you need to have a surrendered will. You see, there may be a difference between what we want and what God wants with our life, and we must constantly make sure our will is surrendered to his. That's not easy. I'm not standing up here and saying that it is. You see, if you truly want God's will for your life, you can't just pray, your will be done, but you must pray, not my will. A lot of times we'll pray, your will be done, God, your will be done, but we forget about saying, not my will. You see, all other wills bow to the divine will. God's authority is recognized and submitted to, and everything comes into alignment with what he desires. This is what a surrendered will looks like. A surrendered will means you bow down to the divine will for your life. God's authority is recognized in your life, and you're submitted to everything, and everything comes into alignment with what he has for you. You see, if you want to see God's kingdom on earth, it starts with God's will being done in you. If you want to see God's kingdom come on earth, it starts with God's will being done in and through you. You see, God uses broken men and women. How many of you are broken today? God uses broken men and women. And I really believe when God uses broken men and women, that's when we see people healed. That's when we see people's lives set free and changed. We see people delivered. We see bondages broken, and we see the supernatural happen. It happens through brokenness. And I believe God's looking for people in this season to step out and allow God to use them in that way. I believe that we're coming into a season where that's how people are going to get saved. People aren't going to get saved on the streets because we're praying for them to get healed, and they get healed. People are going to get saved in our workplaces because we're stepping out in faith and we're sharing the good news with them. We're praying with them and supernatural things begin to happen. That's how people are going to get saved in these last days that we're living in. So get ready if you want to be used that way. You got to be broken. You've got to be broken. You've got to go through a broken process, and it's uncomfortable. But it's important to endure through the broken process. Through the breaking process, it's important to endure. And so if you come in here today, like I said earlier, broken, feeling like the world is just such a heavy weight on you, keep pushing. Endure through it, because there's something greater on the other side. And God loves to use broken vessels. He loves to use broken people. You know why? Because he knows he'll get 100% of the glory through them. Because they know it's not through them. It's not by their works. It's by God. Amen? The third secret to discovering God's will for your life is to be able to hear God's voice. Without hearing God's voice, knowing his will is impossible. Without hearing God's voice, knowing his will for your life is impossible. Whether you know it or not, God's speaking to you, and your ability to recognize his voice not only is the key to discovering his will, but it's also the key to staying in his will. Every day, you've got to hear his voice. You see, you'll learn to recognize his voice when you cultivate a love for him, when you cultivate a love for reading his word. You'll hear his voice. I've heard this before. If you're not doing what you already know to do, why would God give you more instruction? If you're not doing what God has already asked you to do, whether he's told you to do it or whether you've read it in his word, because everything we need is found in his word, if you're not doing what he's already asked you to do, why would he give you more instruction? Some of you are so fearful to just step out with one thing that God's asked you to do because you don't know the whole picture. Can I tell you, he gives it to you one step at a time? You've got to step out. You see, if the enemy can keep you from reading God's word, he can keep you from hearing God's voice. If the enemy can keep you from spending time with God, he can keep you from hearing God's voice. If the enemy can keep you from worshiping God, he can keep you from hearing God's voice. Don't let the enemy win. Don't let the enemy win. You're sitting here, some people are in there say, I never hear God speak to me. I've never heard God speak to me. You know what the problem is? You probably just haven't been listening. Can I tell you that in my life, honestly, in my life, some of the greatest times that I've had with the Lord, some of the times where I've been able to hear God's voice more clearly than other times is when I was silent. A lot of times God will speak to me as I'm waking up in the morning. I'm silent. The rest of the day hasn't happened yet, and I'm silent before God. And that's when I hear his voice the loudest. And I want to encourage you in your time with God. You don't always have to be screaming and crying and praying, and that happens, but sometimes just sitting and being quiet, God will speak to you and you'll hear his voice clearer. Try it. We have to become familiar with his voice to know his will. The fourth secret to discovering and knowing God's will is understanding that the way up usually is down. It's having an understanding that the way up is usually down. You see, when you build a big house or a tall, I don't know everything about building homes, but when you build a house or you build, you know, when they build these skyscrapers, the most important thing is the foundation that's laid, okay? And they've got to dig down deep. They got to go down before they build up, right? Same thing with our lives. Sometimes God takes us on a journey downward. See, the taller or the bigger the building, the deeper and further down the foundation goes. You know, you think about the story of Joseph. You say Joseph's path to greatness took him down. That's our pastor's, one of his favorite stories and people in the Bible is Joseph. So you hear the story all the time here. But he took him down. He had to go through people mistreating him and coming against his character. It didn't feel good. He had to become a servant. He was even thrown into prison. And I'm sure he was crying out, God, why? I don't understand. You gave me this dream. I know what my purpose is. I know what my plan is for your life. Why am I having to go through this? Why am I going down? I'm supposed to be going up. Why am I dealing with these things? How many of you are in the same place right now in your life? You're asking God, why? This doesn't add up to what you thought your life was going to be. You You see, Romans 8:18 says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory we will receive later. You've got to remind yourself that. Your sufferings now are nothing compared to what you'll receive when you hit eternity. Amen? You've got to have an eternal mindset. You've got to think that way. Joseph discovered that the way up is down, and God's will for your life always leads you to a path of humility. You see, if we want to be promoted, then we've got to, it would be smart and wise to listen to the one who promotes, right? If we want to be promoted, we've got to listen to the one who promotes. And in his word, it says in Luke chapter 14, verse 11, for whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Matthew 5:5 said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. James 4:10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Proverbs 29:23, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. You want to discover God's purpose and will for your life? Humble yourself before the Lord. And he'll reveal to you what it is. Humble yourself in the Lord, and he'll give you what it is that he has for your life. And the fifth and final secret to understanding God's will for your life is, honestly, it's not really a secret. Just take action. Take action. I love the first song that we sang this morning. Nothing happens until something is spoken. Speak the word and every chain will be broken. Nothing happens until something is spoken. Nothing happens till we step out in faith. If God's called you to do something, step out and do it. You've got to obey God. Do not let fear of any sort hold you back from pursuing what God has asked you to do with your life. You see, the one who will go on to see God's will fulfilled in their lives are people of action, of initiative, and of urgency, people who are driven by eternity. You see, it's our demonstrated faith that moves the heart and the hand of God. It's not him seeing us asking him to do something. It actually is our demonstrated faith, meaning it's actually doing what we believe God has asked us to do. Demonstrated faith. You know, in closing, I wanna read a scripture to you. You see that there's some of these little bundles of straw here on the altar. I've made one for everyone in here. And I want you to have this in mind. On this bundle of straw, it says, live with an eternal mindset. And so I want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 11. It says, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one we already have, Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on that foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, that builder will receive a reward. But if the work is burned up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of flames. I want you to stand up on your feet as we close out today. It says anyone who builds on their on this foundation, Jesus Christ, if they've used hay or straw or wood, things that'll burn up, it'll mean nothing to God. And some of those things, you know, I think to myself, I never want to hear these words, it could have been so much more. I've been driven by that in the last couple months. When I get to heaven, I don't want to hear the words, it could have been so much more for your life. I don't want to get to heaven and God show me all I would have just tapped into what he had for my life. I don't want to get up to heaven and find out all the people that could have come to know Christ if I would have just done the one thing he asked me to do, which was share or pray with the person at work that was sitting next to me. It's those little things. You guys think that it's a big thing, that our purpose in life sometimes is this huge thing of, you know, that it's only important to God if we're winning hundreds and thousands of people to the Lord. No. What's important to God is what he asked you to do. Even the simple thing, if he asked you to go buy groceries for a person who was sitting on the corner and you don't do it out of fear or whatever. I don't want God to say it could have been so much more for your life. You shouldn't want that. And so I want you to think eternally. You see, from an eternal perspective, what is the straw in your life? What is the stuff that you may be pursuing here on this earth that when you get into eternity will be burned up like straw? All of us have it in our lives, including myself. God has checked my spirit for my own life. There's things that I'm putting all my energy, time, and maybe money in even. And it's not what God has asked me to do. There's things that I'm pursuing that in God's eyes are not important to him. There's things you're pursuing in here today that are not important to him. There's things that you're worrying about today that aren't important to him. So what is it in your life that would be like straw and be burned up? Would have no eternal significance. That thing or that dream that maybe isn't what God has for you. What is it? You know, this morning, you may be in here today and you don't even really have a full understanding of what I'm talking about because you don't know Jesus Christ. You don't know God's will for your life because you don't know him. You know, everybody, I just want to bow your heads and close your eyes. You're in here this morning and that's you. And maybe you've known the Lord at one point in your life and you've fallen away. And when you think about eternity, something in your spirit is speaking to you because you honestly don't know maybe where you would even spend eternity. We're talking about having an eternal mindset and you don't even know where you're going to spend eternity, whether it be heaven or hell. If that's you today, I want to encourage you to step out of your seat and come onto this altar because God told me that people were going to get saved today or people were going to rededicate their lives to the Lord. And so if that's you, I want you to come down to this altar right now. That's you. You're in here and you're saying, I understand what you're saying, having a mindset that's fixed on eternal things, but I don't know where I'm going to spend eternity. And when I, you know, all of us are going to hit the judgment seat of Christ one day. Whether you're saved or not saved. So I want to encourage you today, if that's you and you, and you're getting that feeling in your spirit and in your stomach that I need to make things right with God so I can live the life that God's called me to live, I invite you now to come up to this altar. And then for some of you today, when I'm talking about this straw, and you know that there's some things in your life that you're pursuing that are not what God's asked you to pursue. It could be good or bad. It doesn't always have to be bad things. It might not be the God thing for you. And you feel like you need an eternal mind shift. You think more about the earthly things, and we all do it. There should be a lot of people that come up here for this. We all think like that. We live in a world. We live on earth. We're going to think like that. But if you want to come up to this altar and ask God to help give you a mind shift so you can think like he thinks, so you can think eternally in every decision that you make, I want you to come up to this altar. I want you to grab one of these tokens that I've made for you. So I invite you now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Altar team, I invite you to come up and pray with some of the people who've come up to give their life to the Lord.
I don't want it
I want you to listen to the words of this song. If you're wanting prayer, stay up here at the altar. Our altar team will pray with you.
Take everything, I don't want.
To the Lord, or you gave your life to the Lord for the first time, I just wanted you to raise your hand up to me. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. If you're in here and you did that, whether you're sitting in your seat or whether you came up to this altar, God has something for your life. And our altar workers are here right now, and they have a gift that they want to give to you. And you know what the most important thing is to do after you've given your life to the Lord? There's three things. Get into the Word of God. Get involved with some type of discipleship, which we have available to you next Sunday if you would like. 9 o'clock in the morning. You've given your life to the Lord. You've rededicated your life to the Lord. Maybe you've been struggling in this walk for God, and you're needing some discipleship. Next Sunday, 9 o'clock, upstairs, we have a class for you that's going to help you walk this walk. It's going to help you pursue the purpose God has for you. And the third thing is you need to keep coming to church on a regular basis, whether it be this church or another church. You need to keep coming to church. Thank you, God. Lord, I thank you for those who gave their life to you this morning. I thank you for those, God, those people, God. I know that you're rejoicing, your angels are rejoicing in heaven over just one. And so, Lord, I pray today, God, that they would sense and know and feel your presence and your love and your peace like never before, God. Lord, let this new journey that they're on, Lord Jesus, bring all the things that you purposed their life to do, God. Lord, we thank you for them, God. And Lord, as we get ready to close this morning, I'd like for all of us to go back into the song you were just singing, and I want us all to just sing that to God. It's powerful. The words are powerful to the song that they're singing. And so when you're singing that song today, mean it from your heart to God. Go ahead. Thank you, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
Talking about take everything.
Yes,
take it all,
take
God.
Everything,
take it all,
take.
God.
Everything I don't want it, I don't need it, God. More times to take everything, 'cause I don't want it, I don't need it, 'cause we just want you.
That's your heart's cry. You just want God. I just want you, God.
We just want you.
We just want you, God.
We just want you.
We just want you.
Lord, we just want you.
Just want you.
We just want you.
Just want you.
We just want you.
Just want you.
So lift your voice. Say, take me out of yours. Say, take.
Take me, I'm yours. Take me, I'm yours.
We just want
just
you.
Want you.
Say we just want you, Lord.
Just want you.
Say take me, I'm yours.
Take me,
take me,
I'm yours.
Take me, I'm
take
yours.
Me, I'm yours.
We just want you.
Just want you.
We just want you.
We just want you.
Just want him. If you would just honor God by just giving him a hand clap of praise for the word that he had given Pastor Danielle. Hallelujah. To be driven by eternity, you're going to be driven by something. But to be driven by anything else than God, then it's short-sightedness. You're only looking at today, and you can't see tomorrow. But see, when you're driven by eternity, then you put everything in God's hands, and you give up everything. God, you can take it all. God, I give it to you. And the amazing thing about God that When you give up everything, you gain everything in Him. It's a principle that you can't see anywhere else in the natural. You can't see it. But with God, to give up everything for Christ, you gain so much more. So Pastor Locke, Pastor Danielle, we thank you. We thank you for the word that God's given to you today that fed us on this day. Hallelujah. And before you leave, I want to encourage everyone to come. See, I grabbed one of these. So, and before you leave, if everyone, I encourage you to come down and grab one and take with you. Live with an eternal mindset. Amen. So if you weren't here, I know Pastor did the blessing, but if you weren't here, you missed it, I'm going to give you the blessing. Amen? So lift your hands, receive this. This isn't praying, so don't close your eyes. This is blessing. I bless you in the name of Jesus Christ, the name that is above every name in all the earth. I bless you coming and I bless you going. I bless your homes, your finances, your jobs. I bless your travels. So many of you this week are going to have to go on a trip. I bless that now in the name of Jesus. I bless your children. I bless your relationships. I bless your family. May you be so filled and overflowed with love and blessing that you do what? Give it away to someone before you leave. Amen.